Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. What a night tonight is. The Stanley Cup Final gets underway in Edmonton between the Oilers and the Panthers. And Pauly, how cool is this? The great Eddie Olczyk is kind enough to join us here on game day. He is calling the game in a few hours on TNT, and he joins us via video, by the way, on the Progressive Guest Line. Eddie, thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Mitch and Pauly. Great to be with you guys. Yeah, great time of year. Got the Belmont coming this Saturday, so right in between games two and three, and between a venues change between Edmonton and South Florida. And just to tip everybody off out there, we got the whole crew on site here for our TNT coverage. So we have we got a full house. We got all the heavy hitters here, so looking forward to sharing the stage with the boys tonight. Looking forward to game one. So it's always great to be with you guys, and thanks for having me as always.
Excellent. Can't wait to watch the coverage. No doubt you guys are going to hit a home run with it. I'll begin with this. So the series price opened up pretty much a flat pick-up at most books, right? And then earlier today, like here at Circa, they took a lot of sharp money, Oilers were almost touching minus 130, and we talked to Jeff Davis here at Circa a half an hour ago, and he said he was stunned when he saw the Panthers at some books today got to plus 115. Your thoughts on how the series price shifted?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, Mitch, that I looked at this series, obviously, once our series, we did the Eastern Conference, ESPN did the Western Conference, and once Florida was able to take care of Carolina, and you knew it was going to be a rematch, and then, you know, obviously, the next night we watched Edmonton take care of Dallas. I mean, the first thing I thought of was it's a pick 'em. Like, I thought absolutely, again, not knowing if somebody comes up lame, somebody's not playing, I mean, all those type of things. But I just thought flat out with watching the teams, and you look at the path, especially of Edmonton, like that's the one thing that is super impressive. Like you could argue all the way through these playoffs, you could go LA. Yeah, a lot of people thought that they could make a real, you know, they could make a real, you know, serious run. Vegas, absolutely one of the favorites. Dallas, absolutely one of the favorites. So you look at the road that they traveled, pretty darn impressive. And, you know, when you look at Florida and you think about three straight Stanley Cups and you look at going up against Tampa, who a lot of people, and I was one of them, thought that Tampa had a real legitimate chance to make a real serious run and get to the final. I just thought at the end of the day, I looked at both of these teams and the way that they were playing. I just thought it was, flip a coin. You want to flip it, 49 times and say, okay, yeah, I would say, yeah, you're probably right in that ballpark of maybe laying a little bit, but I can make a case for both teams, and I'm expecting. Look, I'm packed for 17 days, boys.
Yeah.
So I think you know where my mind is here with this series.
Oh, excellent. Very good. So you're the perfect guy to ask, too, because you won in 94 with the Rangers, and that was New York against Vancouver. So as we go here, it's a war of attrition. Do you think the travel could play a role, and plus how much hockey they've played?
Pauly, I think it's a great point, and I think really where people might want to look ahead just a tad is so you have game Wednesday, game Friday, 1 and 2. You have 2 days in between games 2 and 3, as I mentioned earlier, change of venue. You go down to South Florida. Monday is game 3. They do not play game 4 until Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got a 2-day bump there. So I would look at it and go, you're going to empty the tank on Monday night. Like you might play your big boys on both teams. Maybe you play them a little bit more on Monday night, knowing you got the 2 days off coming. Now, as you guys know, in hockey, you could get a marathon game where you play three or four overtimes. Like it does happen. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I would say is that after you play game 4 in South Florida on Thursday, don't ask me the dates because I have no idea what the date of the month is right now. But next Thursday, that will be game 4. There is only 1 day in between traveling from Florida to Edmonton for a game Saturday night back in Edmonton. So I think, I don't want to say maybe that's where the series maybe takes a turn, but maybe if you look at and see how the series has gone and maybe ice time a certain players, I think that 48 hours, less than 48 hours, because They're going to obviously lose some time. They're going back with an early game here in Edmonton, all 6 o'clock local starts, 8 in the East. I think that might be something to look at. So, but then after that, 2 days off travel, 2 days off travel, and then if you get back for a game 7. So I think the middle of the schedule might be where really maybe somebody takes a stranglehold, you know, on a Monday night on game 3 in South Florida, and then all of a sudden you're playing 2 games in less than 48 hours.
Yeah, great breakdown. Phenomenal. I think special teams can decide it as well. Florida number one in penalties. Edmonton's kill's been weak. Yeah. They've allowed 16 power play goals. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. Tonight, I believe it's Wes McCauley, veteran referee, been around 1,000 years. Francis Sherrod, very similar. I think for the most part, like, I think the referees have done an amazing job. Have they missed some calls? 100%. That just happens. But I think that the experienced referees that I think Chris Rooney is the backup official tonight as far as the referees, because as you guys know, we've had like 4 or 5 games this year in the playoffs where we've lost officials in games because of injuries. So, you know, just something to keep an eye on. But I think they're going to let him play. You know, am I expecting 8, 9, 10 power plays tonight? No, I'm not. Now, I mean, if the game gets out of hand and it's 5-1 after two, then all of a sudden somebody's looking to take a hooking and an arm while they're going to the penalty box. You know, like that's just how it is in playoff hockey. But I think you're right. I mean, especially teams always become a big part of this. And who can catch fire when they do get that man advantage, because the way that both of these teams have the ability, and obviously with Connor McDavid leading the charge, they have the ability to turn the tide and get the momentum with a huge power play. So look, if you're going to take penalties, they better be good ones, because I don't think you want to be playing that game. I don't think either team wants to play that type of game when you look at the firepower when the teams go on a power play.
Spot on. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Eddie Olczyk, he's calling tonight game one and the entire series on TNT, Oilers and the Panthers, and he is on the Progressive guest line. So let's say that the referees let him play, right? And we're not going to get a lot of these teams right on the penalty or other, you know, the opposing team going to the box. If it's played mostly
Florida,
five
Mitch.
On
Florida.
Five, they're
Florida.
Okay. They're okay.
Florida.
There you go.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get my question out.
Yeah, I mean, both teams are very healthy, you know, and look at, we know that it's not, you know, players are not healthy, but the barn is full of thoroughbreds and they're all ready to go regardless if they're 50%, 90 or 100. Zach Hyman loss for Edmonton is a massive loss for a couple of reasons. He touches every part of their game. He's got jam. He goes to the front of the net. He's an unbelievable puck pursuer and forechecker. But the depth of Edmonton, I think, is really huge, where that they have some guys that can fill in that void. Can they fill Zach Hyman's skates? I think Evander Kane can do that, because I think he's the one guy that can be an X factor for Edmonton. But if it's playing 5-on-5, and I know Edmonton has proved dramatically, like, they're way better transporting the puck. The big key for me is that can Edmonton avoid and spend less time the pressure that the forecheck of the Florida Panthers have? Like, you'll see tonight on our TNT broadcast, I'm doing a game with Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher, and when I bring out my crayons and I bring the telestrator out, there's going to be times where I show the defenseman just staying in the offensive zone for Florida, and they just run it, the wingers of the Edmonton Oilers, and try to keep the play alive. You know, I mean, they do a lot more forward skating than they do backwards on a lot of nights because they want to be aggressive. But at 5-on-5, I just think that Florida is just a tad better when it comes to the overall play in all three zones. That's forecheck, that's defensive zone coverage, that's backtracking, that's, I think, their collective D. But don't kid yourself. Edmonton has proved dramatically. Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Panthers, told us this morning is that I asked him specifically, what can you take from last year's final into this year's final, and what did you see different between now and then? And he said flat out, they're way better defensively than they were. And I think they have the puck more, Mitch and Pauly. I think that they have the puck because they have defensemen like Klingberg, like Wallman, who were acquired late in the season. They are able to transport the puck, give quick exits. So, but I think 5-on-5, the longer it stays on 5-on-5, I believe it helps Florida. But all it takes is one breakdown, and all of a sudden you got the wrong guys on the ice. And we know what Edmonton can do at 5-on-5, especially with the big boys on the ice.
All right, so good. In about 90 seconds here then, you're going to squeeze into Belmont? You're going to go? And do you have a pick for us?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not only preparing, but I'm really preparing for Saturday. So.
here we go.
There you go.
What do you need? What do you want to know? You want to know Saturday?
Yes. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it looks like the weather is not going to be great, Mitch and Paulie. It looks like it might be another off track. So it's hard not to use the three horses that finished 1, 2, 3 in the Derby. Sovereignty, obviously, he skipped the Preakness. Mm-hmm. Journalism won the Preakness. I didn't think he got a great ride in the Derby. He got an unbelievable ride in the Preakness. And the horse that I think is most dangerous and the best price will be Baeza, number 6. He ran third. He came out of post position number 19. I don't think he really got a chance to run until maybe the last eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile. He was held up. If you go back and watch the replay, I'm hoping Baeza is every bit of maybe 4-1 because you know the Derby winner is going to get money. Journalism is a legit animal. I hope it comes up fast because I think that would be awesome. But all my plays will be around number 6, Baeza. And then you got Bob Baffert and Mike Smith teaming up with Rodriguez, who won the Wood Memorial. He scratched out of the Derby, and he's going to be on the lead. So I think it's got a chance to be a hell of a race. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, but all my plays will be with number 6, Baeza, and number 7, Journalism.
Dynamite. Thank you enough. Have a great call starting tonight in the entire series. The next time you come out to Vegas, if you have time, shoot us a note. T-Bone's on us, Barry's on us, wherever you want to go.
Sounds good, boys. Always great to be with you guys. Keep up the great work. Awesome. I miss you guys in the morning. I know for lifestyle, I know it's much better for you guys, and I'm happy for you, but I got to say selfishly, I do miss you in the morning. So keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great call. We'll get to player props and Major League Baseball coming up next. That was a blast. I can't believe Eddie Olczyk, the day of the game, won, by the way, in Edmonton, coming up in a few hours. He's like, nah, guys, I got time. I'll do it in the afternoon. Sure. Hit me up. Takes time. Pulls out the old computer. Joins us via video. That was awesome. Jonathan Davis has had great write-ups throughout the entire season and specifically in the playoffs on this stuff at vsin.com. Here are some notes. Also today that we're in Bill 80's daily newsletter. You can sign up, subscribe today at vsin.com/subscribe. You get the newsletter, bam, right in your email and your inbox every day, like around 6 o'clock Eastern time. All 7 Panthers defensemen have scored a goal in the playoffs. I think that's to Eddie's point. The depth, both teams have a ton of depth here. If it stays 5-on-5, he likes the Panthers. The Oilers are 12-4. To the third period over 1.5 goals in the playoffs. I think that ties into this prop at BetMGM. And I briefly touched on this yesterday. The total amount of empty net goals in the series. You could only bet the yes or the over on it. Yeah. It's 3.5 plus 180.
I like that. Yeah. What? Like you said, you could get multiple in the same game.
I was going to say, if you got 2 tonight, you'd be sitting pretty on that one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
One would help, obviously. Another one with 12. The Florida Panthers are 12-5 to the full game going over the total. The Florida Panthers are 12-5 to the over.
6 of the last 7 between these teams have gone over as well. So there's a 6.5 at DraftKings. Most places have a 6. I don't know. I mean, goal in the first 10? Rust? I don't know. $1.50. Goal in the first 5? Who knows? First period over? I would say goal in the first 10, but that's, again, I don't know how this is going to play out tonight. It's going to be interesting. And the fact that Edmonton's been so good at home, Florida's been so good on the road. Florida's won 5 in a row on the road, outscored their opponents 27-7, 6 of 14 on a power play, and made Carolina look like a minor league outfit, what they did. But certainly props to Edmonton for turning around after the L.A. series and what they did and taking out Vegas, no problem, and taking out Dallas, which they should have been a sweep, no doubt. I mean, that fluke, that bad 5-minute stretch of the third period of game 1, or they take them out, no problem. So,
yeah, I'm surprised more people have not brought up what he said there with the path. I mean, the paths have been much different here, right? The Edmonton path has been the absolute meat grinder of all paths here. The Kings were a legit, it's a playoff, so.
Yeah.
I'm not taking shots here at other teams, but the Kings were a team that I think some expected to actually, make a deep run here. And they not only led 2-0 in that series, Paulie, they had game 3 in the bag. And they couldn't close them out. The Golden Knights were clearly a contender. and then what they did to the Stars, you're exactly right, after that fluke in game number one with the third period, that path compared to Florida's path, I think, has been a little bit different here. 62% of games won by the favorite so far in the playoffs. That would be Edmonton tonight. They're a small favorite here in game one. And 71% of games have been covered by the puck line, minus 1.5 goals.
That's been the big story, and I credit Davis. He's been on that for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Every game's been decided by two or more goals going back here, 11 in a row and 20 of 22.
Mm-hmm.
So see if that continues. It was a good write-up someone had. You can bet this at DraftKings. Barkov over time on ice tonight, 20 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh.
Guy likes the over. McDavid's 22-45. Also, will there be a hat trick in the series? Will a game go to double overtime or longer? William Hill has 1.5 overtimes in the series, heavily juiced to the under. Will there be 10-plus goals in a game? That's also available. And I do like Kane over 2.5 shots on goal tonight as well. Three or more shots on goal, 9 of the last 14.
Okay, so this is where my ears are going to perk up a little bit. I was unaware that you could bet ice time at any book. So if you can do that, I tell you this right now. What Eddie said to us 10 minutes ago, and if you missed it, you can go back and listen a little bit later on today on the Follow the Money podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, on the VSiN Watch app as well. All shows here on the network are posted up there for replays. His very astute observation about the travel here and the days in between games. So in between games 3 and 4 in Sunrise, Florida, there's a massive break. They play it Monday and then Thursday. He said they're going to throw the entire – both teams will throw the kitchen sink out at game two. So based on that, would you not be looking to play ice time over for some of these star players in game two, thinking they're going to get that extra break in between games 3 and 4?
Mm-hmm.
And then you might want to flip it and go under with some numbers in game four because they have to fly from Sunrise all the way to Edmonton after the game Thursday night and play again on Saturday.
That's a big story. Travel's a big deal here.
I think there's an angle there, Paulie.
Well, he's also right. It goes out the window if there's a double over, triple overtime game two. Could be a war of attrition. I just love everything about it. The rematch angle, you've been on this for weeks. You got to go back. It's only happened twice since 83-84. And that's when Crosby won, when it was Detroit-Pittsburgh, and then Gretzky, after getting swept, beat the Islanders and won his first cup, going with the rematch angle. This is very popular, maybe too popular. I see it on VSiN. I see it on covers. I see it everywhere. Bob saves over tonight, 24.5. Everyone loves it. Edmonton's averaging 31 shots per game in the last 14. So that's a big one that people like tonight as well.
I think then, and again, you can bet various numbers here. BetMGM was offering Bob to record 20-plus saves in every game at plus 150. So the higher you climb the ladder, the bigger the price is going to be as well, obviously.
Could get chased, though, too. They got it last year. Wasn't there an 8-1 game? There's an 8-1 game. So
yeah,
last year was weird. Because like I said earlier at the top of the show.
Well, that's why we call it gambling, Paulie.
Yep. So, but again, 6 of the last 7 have gone over between these teams, but I go under tonight 6.5.
The points leader for the series, McDavid plus 120, yep. Draisaitl plus 260, Barkov is 9, Tkachuk 10, Reinhart 15, Nugent Hopkins 17. You have to go down to all the way to 22-1 to find Sam Bennett, and Verhaeghe is 22-1. Anything there with Bennett who's had a rip-roaring playoff so far?
Yeah, like him a lot. I don't hate that. I don't mind Perry, first goal of the game. He's cashed that a couple times,
too.
Yeah,
he's been solid.
That's a big ticket. So also, who knows, well, easier said than done, but when you're the most penalized team, and we'll see if you see a penalty right off the bat, Edmonton can have a power play goal.
Bennett's 10-1 for most goals in the series.
Yeah, there's an 11 out there. I like that. He's got the most points in the playoffs, most goals in the playoffs,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good bet, too. So a lot of creative stuff, a lot of fun stuff. I wish it was a more creative menu than what we've seen based on the NBA. But let's get it going tonight. And the whole crew there on TNT, as you mentioned earlier.
You brought this up half an hour ago and win some, lose some. Will Castro, Twins, was, 75-1 to hit 2 home runs last night?
Yeah.
So in the last week, he's 9 of 19, which is a 474 clip with 4 home runs. Tonight, again, playing at Sutter Health Park in Sacramento. Very warm weather, as you can imagine. That's going to be the story like almost every day, unless they have storms or whatever, throughout the entire summer. We've seen the Twins score a ton of runs. You're getting overs in these games. And Castro's been red hot. Springs goes tonight for the Yates. He's plus 725 to hit a home run in that game. and opposite team, but same thought here. Lawrence Butler has been blazing hot for the A's. I love this kid. In the last 7 days, batting .346 with four doubles. His total base number is over 1.5 at +105. I'm not going to go home run. It's 4-1, too low for me. But I'm thinking that plus money on him for the total bases over tonight would be another way to look at that. And Freddie Freeman has been blazing hot.
Oh, yeah.
458 and five doubles tonight. You can get him over 1.5 at +110.
Yep. This goal, Mitch, this is like 2 months what he's been doing.
Oh, he's been.
Okay.
You actually, I saw this last week. For Freddie Freeman to bat 400 was like 250-1. Now he's like around 360 or something like that. It's crazy. Oh, it's not going to happen, but.
Ryan O'Hearn, 19 game on base streak, hitting .488. Two more hits last night. Take some O'Hearn props tonight. Take some, I like Ortiz under 15.5 outs.
I like his walks over.
Okay. Goldschmidt, 7 of 10 against him. You mentioned Caminero, what he's doing, hitting .417 in the last six. Santana and Ramirez are hot for the Guardians. You can look at their props as well, what they're doing. And again, anything you want to do with runs in the A's game, I can't put you off. As they've allowed 8-plus runs six in a row. Lost 19 of 20. In the last 20 games, their starters are 0-12 with an ERA of 8. Oh. So anything Twins related, you're right. You can do that as well.
I played Zebby Matthews over 5.5 Ks, about minus. I played it twice, -102 and -106. There was plus money out there offshore earlier today. And the number on Ortiz, the walks over 2.5, I played that at +115 in the Guardians game.
Okay.
The Yankees are the number one walk team in baseball. Six guys on the team, I think it's six, maybe seven, have a higher than 10% walk rate. Judge is at 15%. And Ortiz, he walks like 4.5 guys per 9 innings.
There you go.
Had to do it.
Ramirez hitting .430 against Schmidt as well. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card, and First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN will complete the try with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through August 31st, $200 value. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. Go to VEASAN.com/GBank, VEASAN.com/GBank. One-time promotion, limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Terms and conditions apply.
It's been a minute, but Mike Palm's going to join the program coming up next, VP of Circa Las Vegas. He has a Stanley Cup prediction and five emerging aces to look out for in Major League Baseball. That's next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot to get into in the final 90 minutes of the program, including a typical Wednesday spot, but it's been a minute here with the maestro Mike Palm as the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate and the D here downtown. Good to see you again, pal. How are you?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. Yeah, I've been traveling a little bit here and there, and been nice to be back for, first time in 3 weeks.
The first time you were at Wrigley Field in how long?
Well, we were there last year. We went, it was the same time, the same Friday, and the same team, the Reds. It was the same, and Ashcraft started for the Reds that day last year, but he came in relief. On this day, I guess it's the worst game the Cubs have played in a while. I mean, they barely got any runners on base. That game was done in 2:20, but they still had a threat in the eighth where you think they're gonna come back and win the game. So, I mean, they're an exciting team.
That's when they brought you up in the booth, right?
We were in the third inning. We like to go do the third inning with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, and they're terrific. And we were throwing on a lot of betting angles. Dodgers first-time home dog in a year and all this with the – different things like that.
So, on the air you were?
Yeah, yeah.
And how are they responding to that?
Loved it. Hughes had all these notes.
Oh, beautiful.
About Fried and Fried's numbers. Yeah. And, you know, it was good. It was good.
Pat Hughes, longtime Brewers guy on the radio with Bob Uecker before he moved over to the Cubs many years ago.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of your dad. Imagine if it was you and Harry Carey. Can you imagine?
He'd have lost his mind.
Oh, I know.
But the good thing was, because we were in the bleachers, it was cloudy and drizzly. Otherwise, we'd have got baked alive, right? Even if it's 78 degrees. The weather was perfect, Mitch. It was on Thursday, it was 64 and overcast. We had a meeting with the Blackhawks. It was 3.5 miles from our hotel. I walked it.
Did you really? Yeah.
They went Uber. Everybody's on their own. Forget about it. I took part of the way on the Riverwalk.
The Riverwalk there. Oh, the Riverwalk in the summertime in Chicago.
It's perfect. Guy asked me for money. on the walk. You know, I got a suit on. I got the thing over my shoulder. I said, listen, brother, I'm dead broke. I'm walking 3 hours to get to a meeting. He said, oh, better luck. I guess it's a good line now. I'm going to use.
You are big into real aces in Major League Baseball.
Fake aces.
You don't like fake aces in baseball, or as you call some goalies like Jake Onger with the Dallas Stars. But I think that you're pretty excited to talk about this. You love betting the Cy Young as well. You have five emerging aces for us to watch.
Emerging aces. It's different stages of emergence. But these are all guys. One might be considered the eight of us. Anyhow, five guys I wanted to throw out there that I think they will become aces soon into the future. I'll start one what people might not think about. How about Brian Wu with the Mariners? He's on a staff loaded with arms. And Castillo would be considered the ace. But Gilbert and of course, we saw George Kirby last night. But Wu, think about Wu. He's 5-2 with a whip sub 1 and a BABIP 262. But in the month of May, 30 strikeouts, 1 walk.
Oh, man.
He's got exceptional control.
Like every game's the same with him.
Right.
You're going to get six strong, and he's going to allow basically nothing.
Yeah. This might be a controversial one because the kid is 2-5. But anybody that's got a K rate over 36%, you've got to circle this person. And he's playing on a team that's not great. But he can dominate a game and get himself out of trouble. Mackenzie Gore. I think you have to take a look at Mackenzie Gore emerging to be a top 6-8 pitcher in the National League in the next 2 years.
Going tonight against the Cubs team that is elite against lefties.
Yeah, the bad news I said for the Cubs was that he pitched Thursday night, so we knew we were going to get him when you got to Washington in this game. But this should be a very good matchup tonight. As you said, the Cubs feast on left-handers. Well, let's see what they do with this guy. Mm-hmm. I threw Hunter Green on the list. You could say he's been their ace. But I think now with a little consistency, I mean, he's thrown 101, 102 very consistently now. And if the guy can stay healthy, here's one thing. He's got his control. His walk numbers have come way down to where the whip's under 1. And the BABIP at 2.5 as well. Hunter Brown, some people argue he's the ace, not Framber. Although Framber, another complete game, complete game of the year. Brown's been unbelievable. I mean, to have this many decisions already and a FIP of 2.65, I mean, it's like these teams aren't ready for him every start. Mm-hmm. And then here's a guy that's had an exceptional fastball for several seasons, and he's really started to develop his I guess they call sweeper, but his slider and his curve this year, Joe Ryan.
Yep.
I think Joe Ryan is emerging as a top flight pitcher this year. Now, I think he got a little arrogant with a 6-0 lead against the A's the other night. I did not like the way he attacked it. You're not used to with Minnesota having a 6-run lead. That's the honesty of it. They usually have to pitch and try to score slim margins, because your team's going to get you 2 or 3 runs. And so I thought he got a little arrogant the other night. But the two on the list I really like that I think are underrated are Ryan and Wu, because Brown is getting his accolades now. What is he like? My Cy Young ticket at 22-1 is probably worthless because Scooble is just going to go out there. If the Tigers will ever let him throw more than 80 pitches.
I know. I took Bubic.
Nice way to end the month.
Yeah, exactly right. I took Bubic at 40-1 last Friday.
Disqualified. I disqualify him. He skipped his start, so he didn't have to face.
That, by the way?
He skipped his start. He was supposed to go Saturday.
Was that him or was that the team?
I don't know, but I disqualify him because of that.
Okay, so based on all of that, and I'll get into the Greg Maddux poker tournament coming up here in a second. I think we've been waiting on this for more than 3 months, or almost 3 months, because Greg Maddux was here on opening day at Circa to throw out the first pitch, as he's done now for a couple of years in a row. You have yet to tell the audience on this show, Maddux told you who he thinks the best pitcher of all time is.
So I asked him, and he doesn't bet baseball, right? And his brother's still the pitching coach in Texas. He says, I bet golf. I don't bet baseball. I said, well, if you were a betting man, any Cy Young guys you'd be looking at this year? He goes, what's DeGrom? And I think it was 28-1 here on opening day. He goes, oh, yeah, if he's healthy, he wins it. He said he's the best pitcher in baseball. I said, he was the best pitcher in baseball for a span of about 4, maybe 5 years. He goes, no, Mike, DeGrom is the greatest pitcher the game's ever seen. He said it standing outside this booth where we were waiting to come on with Stormy on opening day.
He really thinks that?
Yes. He said that a guy can throw 100 and put it right at the outside corner on the knees every time. Everybody wants to talk about the spin rate and the exit velo and launch angles. It's still control. And I talked to this kid, Lance, that works for the Cubs and Marquee. He's a studio reporter. Sometimes he does the sidelines for them because he's a big analytics guy. And he worked for Driveline for years. And we had a talk in the parking lot where we were doing our tailgate on Friday. And I said, you know, I'm not a big Driveline guy because I think we lose the art of pitching. He goes, Mike, control doesn't sell to 16-year-olds. They're not getting signed to deals because they have great control. It's all about speed and spin rate.
Well, that's kind of sad.
Well, it's an interesting way of thinking about it, though, right? I mean, we talked to Josh Towers at length about these kind of things.
Yeah. So was this on your way back to the hotel for a three-hour walk in the parking lot, or was
this
separately?
Is when we did the tailgate before the Cubs game.
Oh, okay,
my walks were on Thursday.
On Thursday only,
yeah.
Okay.
Where there's no sun.
No right, Portillo's so, either?
No Portillo's.
Oh, bad beat.
Any other, did you have any, like, true Chicago food the whole time? Like tavern style
pizza.
Well,
we had the dogs. I mean, at the tailgate. But no, we went out to some nice dinners. I mean, we had fish one night, steak the next night. So
okay,
so we got to go to Kentucky. I don't know if Derek told you that we were in Kentucky.
He didn't have time, no.
Yeah, we were in Kentucky before we flew in Wednesday to see the progress of our permanent book there. It's really coming along.
Good.
Beautiful space in their
great
expansion.
Job.
So yeah,
let's hope they don't come up with some crazy.
The VSiN studio, the desk spins. So you're sitting here, but you can also spin around and look at the crowd, like if you're a podcaster, and the windows open.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, they open, so you can crowd surf. Just pass the small
oats. Can we move to Nashville and do the 30-minute drive to do shows
right
from there?
Now. I think it's open.
Okay, so then go ahead. The floor is yours. What do we need to know about the Greg Maddux tournament?
Yeah, so we still have seats left. A $3,000 buy-in, $75,000 prize pool. This is played Sunday night at Legacy Club. You can go onto the Circa website or Baller Dream website to sign up. But I wanted to give you a list of some of the celebrities that are going to be there this year. Of course, Maddux. Raleigh Fingers is back.
Yeah.
Wally Joyner, who's actually a very funny guy. For you Bears fans, Jim McMahon.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we get him in studio?
That'd be a trip.
Yeah, A.J. Cole, Daniel Carlson, and Dalton Wagner from the Raiders. Which is not the most represented football team. I'll get to that at the end. The crime dog is going to be
here. Oh, Fred McGriff.
I love
Fred McGriff. Yeah.
He likes to hit home runs when it's 9-2, though.
The Merchant of Speed, Vince Coleman.
RBI
attendance.
Baseball and Nintendo. Yeah. Hello, Vince.
Another member of Maddux's staff for a while with the Braves and the A's. Steve Avery will be there.
Yeah.
Johnny Gomes. Marty Barrett's going to be there. Speaking of two Red Sox greats, a lot of 49ers. The number of 49ers, Eric Wright, Jesse Sapolo, Dwight Hicks, and Keena Turner will all be there. Members of those 49ers teams. Keena Turner, mm-hmm. currently a VP for the 49ers.
Very good.
And super agent Scott Boras is playing in the poker tournament.
You're kidding.
That's the guy I want to talk to, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So $3,000. Go online, Baller Dream or Circa, if you want to play Sunday night.
Do it. And also, CircaLasVegas.com. Go all in with the ultimate getaway, just $400, two-night stay, $100 dining, $100 beverage credit, and your own day bet at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. All for $400. Go between May 26th and September 4th. Lock it in. The all-in summer package now, CircaLasVegas.com.
After last weekend, Mike appreciates the Major League Baseball replay system. I can't wait to hear about this, and you cannot be serious next here on VSiN. Welcome back as we continue here with Mike Palm, who is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D here in downtown. Time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Let's start off in Paris, France, with the French Open, which has famously pitted all of the top players against each other as we get to the quarters and semis, and we'll see a great matchup between Sabalenka and Iga Swiatek tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time. But how about the wild card?
Yes.
Louise Boson, the French lady who got a wild card into the tournament, ranked 356th in the world. Now, do you know what Boisson's claim to fame was before this run she made? Are you familiar with it?
I know the answer I do not.
Okay. Well, it's pretty good. So, Rouen, which was a tournament a couple weeks ago in France on clay, that's one of the preps for the French Open, she was playing the English player Harriet Dart. Harriet Dart complained to the chair referee during the changeover, "Tell her to wear deodorant. She smells really bad."
No.
Oh, yes. It's all on video. It was caught during the broadcast of the match. You see her greatest weapon here as she raises the arm to defeat her. Oh, it was great. It was great fun because, like, Dove came out. They were going to sponsor her and all of this. 356. She's into the semifinals of the French Open. She had never played a player in her life higher than ranked 60th. She beat Jessica Pegula, the trust fund baby from the Bills franchise, in three sets to get to the corners. And then she beat Mira Andreeva, the Russian sensation teenager, today in straight sets. In straight sets, Andreeva was minus 1,000 this morning pre-match in this thing. What an incredible story. But the point of it is Harriet Dart asking her to wear deodorant. Harriet Dart!
You cannot be serious!
All right, Mitch, the king of the teases said, we should all be thankful for the Major League Baseball replay system because there were two absolutely incredible replays over the week. And let's start out Friday night in Eugene, Oregon, at the Eugene Regional. Overall 12th seed, Oregon, seeded one in that region against Utah Valley, who entered the tournament 33-27. Oregon is down in the bottom of the eighth, 6-4. They have runners on first and third, and nobody out. Chase Meggers hits a fly ball to left field. Anson Arose, who's on third base, tags and comes home. Now, the catcher sets up maybe 4 feet in front of the plate, right in the baseline, because the ball's going to beat him. But the ball takes a short hop and bounces over the catcher's head. So now here comes Anson Arose to come in. What's he going to do? The catcher's blocking the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done a Pete Rose, I guess. Ray Fosse broke his collarbone. He slides into him. And, of course, as they collide, what would you do? Your arms naturally come out just to protect yourself. Not malicious at all. He didn't strike him. They both fell over. He walked around, touched the plate, safe. Runner tagged and went to second, obviously, as the ball got away. So it's 6-5, runner on second with one out. But wait, the play is challenged. The play is challenged by Utah Valley for malicious contact by the base runner. An 11-minute replay review, which is done in Pittsburgh for the NCAA. And they come back and say the contact was determined malicious, Paul. No run. The runner's out, and the runner had to return to first. They didn't score in the inning. They scored in the ninth, but lost 6-5. It's an incredibly bad review, an incredibly bad ruling. In no way was that contact malicious. And what is he supposed to do? It's supposed to be obstruction before there can be contact. Somebody's in front of the base without the ball. Horrible call. Probably affected the result of the game. NCAA!
You cannot be serious!
The Women's College World Series said, hold my beer on Sunday. If you think that 11-minute review is bad, wait for this one. Down to their last out in an elimination game, UCLA is playing Tennessee. Megan Gant hits a two-run homer with two outs in the top of the seventh to tie the game at four. As she comes around, her whole team's waiting for her, cheering in moments of delirium at home plate. She steps over the plate. She steps over the plate. Teammates are hugging her, this and that. Wait, though. Some of the bench players were paying attention to it. As the whole huddle starts to go back to the bench, the girl grabs her and says, you didn't touch the plate. She walks back and touches the plate. Tennessee challenges. In the rule book, it states no player from the dugout may assist a batter runner. No player from the dugout. Okay. So, in other words, another runner that was on base or the on-deck batter could have assisted her to tell her you didn't hit the plate. But no player that started the bat in the dugout. So Tennessee challenges. Guess how long this review took? I went back. I was taping the game.
I thought it was like 13 minutes.
No, you're short. I watched a whole quarter of the UFL was played in the time this review was done. Remember, they don't put the running clock to a minute pass.
Oh, man.
The third quarter of a game was played. 17 minutes. I mean, literally, the camera was just on the umpire standing at home plate like this, waiting. 17 minutes. He comes back. This is the greatest ruling of all time.
This is the best part.
This is Paul. Video review confirms that the batter missed home plate. And that the batter was assisted by a player from the dugout to hit home plate. However, this play is not reviewable.
True. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
The ruling was you cannot review the part of the play where it's an assist by a dugout player. Why? I mean, why? Here's what gets even better. And the Tennessee coach said there were four people in the whole stadium didn't see her hit the plate, the four umpires. Here's what gets even better. So the umpires, you know, the pool report at the end of the game?
Yeah.
The home plate umpires, or the crew chief, says, even if it had been reviewable, the punishment is a warning at first.
Oh, my God. I missed that part. Oh.
17 minutes to say you couldn't review it, and if you did review it, it would still be a run, even if they had a sister. Again, the NCAA.
You cannot be serious.
I was watching this in real time. I'm like, this is going to be a 30-minute review?
Give
she
me
missed the plate. What are we watching?
Yes.
They weren't reviewing. They were calling the NCAA to find out the rules.
So I was not watching it live, but ESPN, like, their coverage was all over it, like, on the website. Yeah. I'm like, why is this on the front page? Why is it such a big deal? And then they were showing the replay. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this?
What's going on?
Oh, it was terrible. I can't imagine going sitting through that whole thing live.
It's so funny because the Tennessee coach and her assistants had this white book, and it was said NCAA softball rules. And they're going through it, and then they're like trying to get the camera around to see the page that they were on, and then they're calling out the rule. It was crazy.
And then Tennessee eventually hung on to win the game.
They come back. They win in the ninth. They lose to Texas. It starts tonight, Texas versus Texas Tech. Oklahoma down to their last strike, hits the two-run homer, going for the five-peat, but then Texas Tech scores in the bottom of the seventh.
It's over. Joker just beat Zverev, by the way.
Wow.
4-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. He advances. He'll take on Sinner.
Give me a number.
2 days from now.
What do you think? Has he lost a set yet?
First of all, Alcaraz and Sinner are playing so much above a level. I mean, they're just on a collision course.
What is your Stanley Cup prediction?
So,
hit me.
I believe Florida is slightly better. But in hockey, all of us know, and everybody that follows hockey that's listening, every great superstar gets their cup. Who's the best player never to win a cup in the NHL? Marcel Dion? I mean, it's not like Pavel Bure, right? I mean,
Pavel Bure was really good.
But they wouldn't be considered the best players of their era, right? All the superstars, these alphas, all get it. And I think it's McDavid and, to some extent, Dreisaitl's time.
Did you bet him?
I did not. I bet them small when they took a 2-0 lead on the Knights at 8-1. I have just a small play on it. I hedged it a bit with Florida minus the game and a half, plus 170, just to try to work.
Did you see how high they were down 0-2 to L.A.?
No.
You did not?
No.
Okay.
I had L.A. Jim Hiller. I'm telling you, if they win it,
I know.
They get to send a ring to Jim Hiller.
That's right.
The worst challenge I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely. Yep,
yeah,
no doubt about it.
You documented it on the show.
Yep. Well,
they were dead.
It's Canada's time, too. I mean, this is ridiculous. 1993. Come on. VSiN fans, how'd you like to play Circa Survivor, a Circa Millions contest for free? Winner Circle Proxy giving away one free entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. Credible giveaway. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. We're up to 430 in Survivor already.
Yeah, almost 450. And there's still, we see down there our friend. Our friend from Buffalo, Mikey Palmieri, signing up with Tom Carroll. The amount of appointments the proxies have on Saturdays is incredible.
I bet.
I walked in Saturday morning at like 10 o'clock. I said, holy cow, 12 of the 14 booths are full. Then I noticed like five of them were proxies signing people up.
I bet.
Going to soar past 15,000 people for Survivor.
I'd be sick if we only got 15 million in the pool. I think we get 20.
I think you're right.
I'm very confident in that. Well, the other thing I want to say is we shouldn't panic that there's only one Grandissimo. People are not going to tie up $100,000 for 4 months.
Well, who's panicking?
For 4 months.
Derek?
Well, everybody keeps calling. Oh, what are you up to now? What are you up to?
I said, God,
we're going to be at one till the week of the season starts.
Unless the person can only get out here
at some point.
Right. Will you get a second entry before September 1st?
That's a good. We should put up the line on the time of the second entry.
Yeah.
I put my number at 39.5 total entries.
What?
You think that's
39.5?
You think it's high?
Yeah. Wow.
What do you think?
I go under.
Well, what's your number?
I'd say in the 30 range.
Okay, well, not that far off, Paul.
No.
You look like I had a third half.
Wow.
Yeah. Paul, what's your number, Paul?
17.5.
Well, I think I'll go over that.
Go over that one.
Great to see you again.
Thank you.
Great job.
There you go. Mike Palm up next. Jeff Seeley on the program. His betting approach for the RBC Canadian Open next year on VSiN.